not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Turn the volume up, Jimmy. Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah America. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I hope everybody had a great weekend. I know it was a busy one. More about that coming up here in a minute. First, let's check out some temperatures, and then let's check out some weather. We got some rough weather in our neighborhood right now. 82 degrees. Hollis, you are the grand champion. That's a hot spot in the state. 76 at Tipton, 80 degrees at Butler, 66 at Woodward, and 62 at Camargo. That's where the storms are going on right now. Slap out, 70 degrees on over there east. We got 75 degrees at Lahoma out here in the panhandle of Texas. 75 at Lipscomb, 81 at Dozer, 83 at Wellington, and 80 at Odell. Let's check out the radar real quick. Looks like the thunderstorm warning for up there in, Harper. I wanted to say Laverne County. Harper and Woodward, that thunderstorm warning has went away, but you still got some storms rumbling around there. But down here in most of all Dewey County in the northern part of Custer County, you are under a thunderstorm warning. It's just hanging there. So anyway, be alert. I don't think with all these storms this week, there's not supposed to be any tornadic activity, but you never know. It is Oklahoma this morning. I don't know what it was. I woke up about 3:30 when that lightning started hitting down there towards Altus or wherever that was. Anyway, but out here south of Elk City, there was pretty rough weather in there. Baseball size hail there west of Retrop, a lot of rain in Sentinel and that area in there, 1-2 inches. Let's check out, see what our rain total so far has been in some of the areas. According to the Mesonet, Altus has 7,100ths of an inch, a Grandfield 1.21 inches, Hobart, it's not saying anywhere around a half inch maybe at Hobart. So anyway, some rain's going on. It looks like it's going to be a wet week if all the rain comes in. So Dewey County and northern Custer County, you guys be careful. Speaking of Custer County, I would like to wish one of my listeners, Tony Schimmel, and his wife, Laura. Hope I said that right. Anyway, I'm not very good at those names. Anyway, they've been married 25 years today. It's their silver anniversary. So happy anniversary to you guys. Hope you had a good one. Hope you got the mess cleaned up from the tornado a few weeks ago. And wish you guys 25 more happy years. How about that? Okay. Let's see. What you guys do this weekend? Did you go to the lake? Did you work? Did you put up hay? What'd you do? Well, I had a pretty busy one. 3 days of hard work. One day was hard work at playing golf. And then moved the side row yesterday and Saturday 10 times total. Putting some water down on my peanuts. Peanuts started coming up yesterday, so I'm a happy camper. What else to do? Planted 60 more tomato plants in the high tunnel. So I'm up to 175, I believe. And then I got 80 pepper plants. And then I got 8 beautiful cantaloupes plants growing in there. I washed the outside of my tractor for one time. I need to do it again. I cleaned the inside up really good yesterday. Hooked onto the drill. Planted 30 acres of high gear and brown top mountain millet down there in the bottom in between side row moves. I was set my side row for 2 hours just to put down 2 or 3 tenths, and takes 30 minutes to drain, 30 minutes total to move and all that. So anyway, it was a busy weekend. Other than that, I can't think of anything else. The dogs loved hanging out with me. It was hot. Yesterday was hot, the day before. So I did figure out one thing. When it's 95 degrees inside the high tunnel, if I don't have the doors open and the fans blowing, it's 125 in there. So anyway, I had the doors open yesterday at 96 degrees, and it maintained a constant 103, 104 in there. It's pretty warm. That's even with the wind blowing out of the east like it was yesterday. So anyway, that's about all I got done. Let's see what's going on today. Oh, we got a great show. Brandon Hickey is not going to be in today. It's his birthday, so happy birthday, Brandon Hickey. But I do have the results from the Elk City sale. There wasn't a sale at Western Oklahoma yesterday. And then coming up in our last segment of the show around 1240, 1245, I'm going to have Steve Thompson on here from the Oklahoma Farm Bureau talking about Senate Bill 1424 that's very important to all you livestock producers. So we got that coming up in the last segment. And so Friday I left you guys with the question. You guys remember what that question was? So what tractor is considered the original four-wheel drive tractor? So if you guys want to win some tickets to go see Pam Tillis and Lori Morgan on their Grits and Glamour tours coming up at the Sugar Creek Casino this Saturday, June 1st, text in your answer. What's considered the original four-wheel drive tractor? And we'll have more on that tractor in the third segment coming up here in the show, half past the hour. And I got lots of tickets to give away. So anyway, text in your answer with your name. If you just want to play, text in the answer. But if you want to win tickets to go see Pam Tillis and Lori Morgan, please give me your name, or you're not a winner. If I don't have your name, I can't write you down on a pair of tickets. But that's coming up this weekend. All right, let's see what happened overnight. Start of the week, holiday week, in our ag belt. Wheat futures surged in overnight trading after the long weekend amid ongoing weather woes in several producing countries. Russia reduced its outlook for domestic production, say it now expects wheat production in the country of 81.5 million metric tons. That's down from 83.5 million metric tons and 93 million tons last month. Exports are projected to be at 44 million tons. The U.S. Department of Agriculture said earlier this month that it expects Russian wheat output at 91.5 million tons and exports of 53.5 million tons for the 23-24 marketing year. Russian wheat was damaged by drought through parts of the growing season and then had a killing frost earlier this month. In the U.S., Southern Plains, little or no rain has fallen in southwest Kansas and the Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle in the past 30 days. According to the National Weather Service precipitation page, about 49% of the crop, about 49% of the crop was in good or excellent condition last week, unchanged from the previous week, but well above the 31% that earned top ratings at this point last year. The USDA is scheduled to update its weekly crop progress report this afternoon. Wheat for July delivery rose 11¾ cents to $7.09 a bushel overnight in Chicago at the Chicago Board of Trade. Kansas City futures jumped 16½ cents to $7.37¾ a bushel overnight. Corn futures were up 3 cents to $4.67¾ a bushel. Soybeans for July delivery fell 3¼ to $12.44¾ a bushel. Soy meal dropped 130 to 385.20 a short ton, and soy oil added 0.55 cents to 45.5 cents a pound. What else is hot on the press here overnight? Imports of poultry products in the U.S. from the Australian state of Victoria have been banned in a bid to stop the spread of bird flu, according to the statement from the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. Processed products and byproducts from Victoria will need an import permit or government certificate from them showing it met the agency's requirement, according to the statement. Egg products and poultry egg and poultry products must have a thoroughly cooked appearance, but contain in a sealed packaging and cooked in commercial methods, so items are stable without refrigeration. There you go. Strong storms are forecast for parts of Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle, where hard red winter wheat is growing, according to the National Weather Service. The storms will roll through today and tonight with large hail and damaging wind expected. In a report earlier this morning, flash flooding and heavy precipitation are also possible with these weather fronts. Storms are possible in southern Nebraska and northern Kansas today and tonight through those severe weather isn't as expected. Chances for more unsettled weather increase from west to east tomorrow into Thursday night with more storms forecast for the same areas. But that. Okay. Today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association happy hour. Let's go ahead and take an OCA break. When I get back, I'll have your Lipscomb's Dealerships Ag Market update, and I'll have you give you an update on what happened at Elk City Livestock Auction Friday. Today is Heyday Tuesday. Got a little bit of that. I hope I can get all this in the show today. I'm not promising nothing. I will tell you, if you are thinking on holding off selling some cattle Friday because it's a holiday weekend, I'm not saying you messed up, but you missed out. And the prices were really good. They were actually up Friday when I stopped by there, my regular visit to the ladies in the cafe in there. And they were pretty calm. I don't know what was wrong with them Friday. They were just calm. They weren't lipping at me. And it was kind of boring, to be honest with you. So we'll see what happens this Friday. Anyway, let's take a break. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
They want you to see them as people and not just a number. They love when you know their name when they walk in the door and greet them with a smile. They'd love that. I like to hear people's stories and find out about their lives and get to know them. We sponsor in the community a lot, in the communities, in the surrounding communities. We just really care about people. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes here for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with your summer cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help address your soil health concerns. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom mats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your ag weather update for Wellington, Texas. 82 degrees, heat index is at 82, humidity's 41%, dew point's 56, the winds are out of southeast at 17 miles an hour with gusts up to 22. Peak wind gusts so far today, 33 miles an hour, 1.55 inches of rain so far this month, and it's about over. 8-inch soil temperature, 79 degrees. Got a storm update for you here real quick. Looks like there is now another thunderstorm warning up there for, I'm going to say, Woodward County and Ellis County. I got all that right. Yep, there's a storm around Gage moving to the west and towards Sharon, so be on the outlook for some hail and high winds. And then another one just south of that center point between those two cities, it looks like it's headed straight to Visalia. So another thunderstorm warning for that area. And then it looks like they updated the thunderstorm warning. It looks like there's a storm right over Butler headed towards Thomas. And then there's a storm at Thomas headed towards Weatherford. How confusing is that? Anyway, most of Dewey County and Custer County is on, not Dewey County, but yeah, kind of, I guess. Anyway, yes, a little bit of rough weather around Leedy and Putnam, but they've redone this where it's just mainly all Custer County heading over into Blaine County. So there's your thunderstorm update going on. Okay, I was looking at the text line. I'm going to help you guys out. Some people spell like me, Steiger. That ain't going to work. Anyway, I'm going to help you guys out. So my question that I asked Friday and had you guys do your homework on, so you can get some tickets, free tickets, to go see Pam Tillis and Lori Morgan at the Sugar Creek Casino June 1st coming up. Anyway, I've got a lot of answers, but only one's correct so far. And they're not even got their name with it, so they're not even playing. So I'm going to give you a hint. It's not a Massey Ferguson, and it's not a Steiger. And it's not a versatile. So anyway, Google it. And so anyway, what is considered the original four-wheel drive tractor? And I'll give you one more hint because the party's over here after our next break. This tractor was built on the West Coast, north of California. How's that? Anyway, that's what you got. All right, let's do the Lipscomb's Dealerships Ag Market update, and let's check this out. What's going on there? July corn 460 down 4.25. September's 470 down 4.25. Soybeans for July 1227 down 21. August 1227 down 18. Soybean meal for July 374.70 down 1180. August 370.40 down 1020. Man, the market's changed a lot since I come in here at 6 o'clock this morning, updated my ag weather update or ag market update. Soybean oil for July 45.63 up 68. August 45.88 up 66. Hard red winter wheat still looking pretty decent. July 7.26 up 5. September 7.39 up 4. What's cotton doing? Cotton's up a little bit. It's gaining. July cotton, 81.70, up 118. And October, 81.41, up 122. I got a question for you cotton farmers. Text line, ag text line, wide open, 580-225-9697. at what point in the futures do you guys start ignoring the market? You don't care anymore about what the price is. At what point? I'd like to see what that question is, because I don't know. I don't raise cotton. So I know there's some point you just don't care what the price of cotton is anymore, unless you haven't sold yet. Sugar Daddy, hope he's getting rained on. He's at the lake. July 1873, July sugar's at 1873. It's up 32 cents. Crude oil out of West Texas, July 79.74, up 202. Natural gas is what? June 257, up 05. And live cattle, looking pretty decent. June live cattle, 184.52, up 82. August, 181.80, up 67. Feeder cattle for August, 264.35, up 412. September, 265.52, up 377. Lean hogs for June, 93.97, down 30. July, 96.67, down 55. Looks like the Dow's in the red, S&P, and the NASDAQ are slightly in the green here. Let me check this out. I got this new app. I'm going to kind of split this up between Wheeler Brothers and Planters with cash grain prices. Let's pick a town. Let me go through here. Let's go with Kingfisher. According to them, cash grain prices for new crop corn for 24, $4.69 a bushel. And Milo's at $4.24. Soybeans, $11.28 for May. And wheat, cash price today is $6.71. I like it. It's slowly going up. So we'll get that going on. All right, let me check out the... Brandon's report here. All right, this is from Friday at the Elk City West. I wanted to say Elk City Western. Elk City Livestock Auction from last Friday. Head count was a little over 1,000 at 10,16. Here's some steers. Weighing 316 brought 445. Some 368s brought 338. Some 509s brought 315. Some 526 steers brought 332. And then we had quite a bunch out of Raiden weighing 680, brought 270, 50. And then on the girl side, the heifers from 357s brought 330. Some 448s brought 310. Some 578s brought 260. Some bunch out of Sweetwater weighing 625 brought 262.50. Out of Pampa, Texas, 10 head of heifers weighing 664 brought 245. And 35 head out of Allison, 838 brought 228. And then what we got here, butcher cows and bulls, man, they're not going nowhere. Butcher cows were bringing up to 152. Butcher bulls were bringing up to 171. Bred cows up to 2350, pairs up to $3,350. Anyway, we got a new sponsor. I told you guys about this last Thursday, the Picking in the Park here at Elk City at the Ackley Park. It's called the KECO Picking in the Park. Cody Brewer, our own JC, is going to be there. I just seen him walk through the hallway just a few minutes ago. Cooper Twyman is going to be there, and so is Caroline Grace. On the 13th, coming up probably in about, what is that, be 2 weeks from this coming Thursday at 8 o'clock out here in the Ackley Park. It's free. It's great. I went to it last year. Just bring a lawn chair, bring an ice chest with your favorite beverages, water, Dr. Pepper, all that good stuff. Anyway, this is presented by the Joshua Thomas with Edward Jones here, Gas, Hutches, and Tips Agency. So anyway, you guys, I don't care if you live in Woodward. It's worth the trip to come down here and listen to these guys play. It's just not big bands. It's not noisy. These guys are just playing good music together and by themselves. So anyway, all right, let's just go ahead and talk about the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. On the whole, farmers and ranchers are independent individuals who like to tend to their own work and stay pretty close to home. Most of us don't care much about city life or politics. We don't have time or the desire to travel to the Capitol to attend legislative sessions. But we still know that what happens can drastically affect our operations. And you're going to find out more about that coming up here towards the end of the show when I have Mr. Thompson on here. That's exactly why we need an organization like the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. If you're concerned about issues like water rights, property rights, and maintaining your ag sales tax exemption, then OCA, the OCA, is for you. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, run by cattlemen for cattlemen. For more information, all you got to do is go to www.okcattlemen.org. All right, let's take a break. Be back, see if we got some winners on. Come on, you got about 5, 6, 7 minutes here. What is considered the original four-wheel drive tractor? I gave you guys some hints. Text your answer in to 580-225-9697 with your name. If you just want to play, don't text in your name. But if you want to play and get some tickets, put your name in there with that text with your answer, please. We'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Hey farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
Everyone around me was drinking coffee, and I wanted to be a coffee drinker too. But everything I tasted was either too bitter or too sweet, so I tried one more place. Instead of just ordering, I told them an idea of what I wanted, and they crafted a drink just for me. It tasted fresh, like coffee is supposed to. The brew was mild, and the flavor not too sweet. Exactly what I wanted. They've done this for lots of people. They'll do this for you too. Thanks to Twister's Coffee Company next to Brahms in Elk City, now I'm a coffee drinker. Every day.
If you've been looking for a good dealer you can trust when it comes to buying a new car, truck, or SUV, well, the Lipscomb dealerships have arrived in Elk City and Sayre, and we'd like to invite you out to help us celebrate with good people and great deals on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, and pre-owned vehicles backed by a family that's been in the car business for almost half a century and always puts you, the customer, first. Lipscomb. Good people. Great deals in Elk City, Sayre, and at LipscombDealerships.com.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, May 20th. 1,755 head were sold. 3 head of steers at $4.92 brought $3.07. 7 at $5.99 brought $2.96. 12 at $6.48 brought $2.88. 28 at $8.33 brought $2.42. 33 at $9.25 brought $2.24.75. 10 at $11.21 brought $2.02. 8 head of heifers at $4.73 brought $3.01. 4 at $5.13 brought $2.95. 10 at $6.10 brought $2.42. 19 at $8.19 brought $2.21. 18 at $8.29 brought $2.19. 9 at $8.38 brought $2.20.50. 38 at $8.50 brought $2.19. Butcher cows were 81. 141 to 145. Butcher Bulls brought 139 at 182. Pairs were 1700 to 3100. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auctions. Exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, since there's a thunderstorm going on, here is your ag weather forecast for northwestern Oklahoma. And pick the big metro area of Woodward. 64 degrees there right now, dew point 62, humidity's 94, the wind's out east. So far today, 15 one-hundredths of an inch, and I guess you got 6/10 some other time, because total for 10 days, 20 one-hundredths of an inch, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 78 degrees. Sunset's at 8:47. 40% chance of thunderstorms today. 81 degrees tonight. 64 low. 50% chance of rain. And then tomorrow, 40% chance of thunderstorms and a high of 79. Looks like a good week, but looks like the warmer weather's coming in tomorrow. All right, I got some more answers. Some correct, some not. But you know, being the nice guy I am, and as many tickets as I got, it'll take me a little bit after the show. But everybody's a winner, but I'm going to brag on the ones that had it right. How's that? But first, here it is. Wagner was the first manufacturer in the world class to mass produce four-wheel drive tractors. But with a lot of history lost to time, you probably haven't heard of them. And it is considered the original four-wheel drive tractor. In this article he's posted, it it's not a very pretty machine to me, but anyway, the Wagner TR9 on social media, and the other day he posted this picture on social media the other day, it's where I caught it, and then lo and behold, coincidental, they did a story on it, and I was a little surprised there wasn't more interest around it. There was a couple of guys who struck up a conversation, but overall it didn't get a lot of engagement. It wasn't until I had a phone call from Matt Smith, the auctioneer selling this tractor, that I realized one of the reasons why it hadn't raised a few more eyebrows. A little more research confirmed my suspicions. I think there are quite a few people who might not know what a Wagner is. Simply put, they are the one of the first in the four-wheel drive farm tractor game. The Wagner TR9, TR6, TR14, were the first mass-produced four-wheel drive tractors in the world, as far as I know. They're rare enough that you don't see them come across the auction block very frequently. I'd be shocked to see more than two or three sell in a calendar year. This tractor is a bit more interesting than your average Wagner TR9. Two, more on that coming up. The Wagner story is a long one and probably better told by someone way more qualified than me. Here's the Cliff Notes version. There were seven brothers in the Wagner family in Portland, Oregon. They were all fairly smart guys who had a good understanding of machinery and started inventing things in the early 20s, almost all of them geared towards construction and logging. It wasn't until after World War II was over they considered the ag market. Elmer, one of the brothers who prototyped an articulating four-wheel drive industrial vehicle in 1949 after he returned home from the service. As the story goes on, he's seen a similar vehicle in Europe and wondered if it could have an application in the U.S. ag market. As it turned out, it did. By 1954, all seven of the Wagner brothers, Elmer, Eddie, Bill, Guy, Walt, Harold, and Irvin, had partnered up with J. Burke Long to form Wagner Tractor Incorporated. The whole premise of the tractor is that a tractor that hinges in the middle and allows two halves of the tractor to twist independent of one another won't break traction. This would make it perfect for farming in the Great Plains and the Pacific Northwest, where the terrain is steep. Then I'm telling you, I'm looking at this picture and she's pretty. Anyway, Wagner went into full-scale production in 1955 with three models, the 6, the TR6, 9, and 14, rated 105, 120, and 175 horsepower. Very early versions of the tractors used Buda or Waukesha, is that right? Did I say that right? Waukesha engines, and Timken axles would prove to be problematic. After more testing, the company chose Cummins for its power plants, Fuller for the transmission, and guess what? Clark for the axle. Dang right. For a small company, they did pretty well in the early running. The tractors performed quite well in head-to-head field demonstrations. In rough, hilly ground, Wagner's articulated design held traction where crawlers and row crop machines simply couldn't. As a result, they made good headway in Big Sky, Montana country, and small grain regions of Canada. According to the late Dave Curtis, one of the first dealers in the country, Wagner moved over 350 tractors from 1957 to 1960. They are pretty big. Them are pretty big numbers for a new tractor company, especially one with a spendy price tag. I believe the TR6 started at $15,000 in 1960. But by 1960, Wagner was doing pretty well, operating in excess of $3 million in annual sales. This made them an attractive target for the Wisconsin-based four-wheel drive auto company. They were a four-wheel drive pioneer as well, having released the first successful four-wheel drive automobile in the world. In 1961, FDW purchased Wagner and allowed them to operate mostly independent as FWD Wagner. It was a win-win all around, from what I could tell. Over the next few years, FWD Wagner expanded to a half dozen different models, ranging from 100 horsepower to 300 horsepower. Let's see here. The contract, here we go. Wagner's market 1961, including phrases like where machines are originated, not intimidated. The contract Wagner signed with John Deere in 1968. Well, on New Year's Eve is probably the strangest part of the company's story. Wagner just launched a mid-year refresh of two of their better sellers, the WA14 and 17. Somehow John Deere got their attention and convinced them to build WA14s and 17s for them. Agreement up to 100 tractors was drawn up. Wagner would build them. Deere would handle the rest. Paint, decal, marketing, and sales. Easy peasy, right? No, not right. There was a very stiff non-compete statement somewhere in the contract that gave John Deere the right to terminate the deal at will, no matter how many tractors they purchased. And if they did, Wagner couldn't build or sell another articulated four-wheel drive for 5 years. It was probably the most one-sided contract in history, and if terminated, it could spell certain death for Wagner. And Wagner still signed it. Shockingly, I say the 1969 sales didn't go well. And guess what? John Deere terminated the agreement in 1970. Coincidentally, the same year the 7020 was introduced. So there's the deal to that. There's way more to the story. So, but anyway, I just want to go over that with you. So anyway, here's some of your answers. Let's go back to page three. I had a bunch of texts. Massey Ferguson or something like that. The Wagner T9, that was correct. Versatile, nope. Big Bud, nope. Minneapolis Moline, nope. And let's see, Caterpillar. And then we got a Morton Air and a Massey Harris. And then back to page one, let's see what else we got. That's it. So anyway, I will text you if you are a winner, and tickets will be up here after probably 2 o'clock today, between now and Friday, 4 o'clock, you can pick your tickets up, but I will text you that you're a winner and you can pick it up. Thanks for everybody participating. That's three pages of Texas. So anyway, got that going on. Let's go ahead and take an OCA break. When I come back, I'll have Mr. Stephen Thompson on here from the Oklahoma Farm Bureau from the Capitol up there, letting you guys know about Senate Bill. What was that number? I can't never remember. I'm not very good at remembering number. 1424. Anyway, be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
From the classroom to the field, Elk City High School students are igniting sparks of brilliance, fueling the fire of progress in every endeavor they pursue. Whether it's breaking records in the academics or dominating the field, these students are the driving force behind Elk City's dynamic spirit. GAS is fully committed to supporting and fostering the spirit of innovation, because in Elk City, it's not just about moving forward, it's about racing ahead. That's why we're...
I want to be a fireman. I was working for a great farm and rancher in town. Thank the world of him. I was working there, and my whole plan was to go to school and be a either an ag teacher or a football coach or something like that. The rancher was great. Wonderful man. I think a lot of that whole family. But I needed something more to make it through college. You know, I needed, whether it's more money or whatever. And Grandpa told me, he's like, you need to learn a trade to help you kind of get through.
And after a couple of hard decisions, Brandon Culver decided to start his own business. Brandon, why do you think the people that you work for trust you with their electrical work?
Well, we're far from perfect. If we say this is going to work, by golly, it's going to work, or we'll die trying. And I am very picky. All these guys are picky, and we will stand by the best quality in the state, or we're not going to put our name on it. I'm Brandon Culver with Culver Electric. If you need anything electrical or generators, give us a call.
TIPS Insurance Agency is an independent insurance agency. Justin Twyman, what does that mean?
Well, Sean, that means that we can go out and shop multiple carriers. We're not tied to one line of business. That way, if one line of business declines you, we have another line of business to come in and quote. So TIPS Agency, we currently represent a little over 100 carriers. So we have an outlet for your insurance needs.
How can that help someone looking for personal or commercial insurance?
Well, that just gives them options. We don't want to limit our customers to one option. That way we don't try to fit a round peg into a square hole.
Justin, you handle several corporate insurance policies. What sets you apart?
Well, I always tell everyone I'm not a typical insurance agent. You know, I've been around the oil field since I was born and raised here. So I know how it works. Sometimes you get home at night after work, and you're like, man, I was supposed to call the insurance guy, and he didn't do it. So every customer I've got, they have my cell phone number. They shouldn't hesitate to call me, ask me the question. Let's get it knocked out so they don't forget the next day.
What's the best way to contact you at the TIPS Agency?
You can stop by my office, 314 North Main Street, just north of Walgreens, or you can call my cell phone. Cell phone number is 580-374-1052.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton?
High cotton.
It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's see here. Hobart, I'm going to go ahead and do Big City Hobart, capital of Kiowa County, for the Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for Southwest Oklahoma. 79 degrees, dew point 60, humidity's 53, the winds are out of the east, southeast at 8. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 78 degrees. 0.30 inches of rain in the last 10 days. Sunset at 8:42. Slight chance of thunderstorms today, 30%. Tonight, 50% chance of thunderstorms, 63 for a low. Tomorrow, 80 for a high, and 50% chance of rain going on here. So, anyway, on the phone with me right now from the big capital of Oklahoma, Oklahoma City, is Mr. Stephen Thompson. How are you today, sir?
I'm great, sir. The weather here in Oklahoma City is a little stormy, both inside the capital and outside. We got storms coming this way, but it's dry for now.
You say it's stormy inside, too. Can you elaborate?
Yes, sir. We are in the home stretch. The last week of the legislative session, they are constitutionally mandated to be done by 5 o'clock on Friday, the last Friday in May, and they're actually shooting to get done maybe the end of the day Thursday, and so there's still a lot of fights to brew in. I think they have a handshake deal on the state budget, but that's several billion dollars worth, and the devil is in the details. So they're trying to hammer out those bills now, and we're over here trying to have a few good policy things thrown in there as well. But there's still a lot of fights over the dollars and cents.
So when it gets stormy inside the Capitol, do they got like tornado sirens and stuff like that that go off?
Well, it's more of a thing that you kind of know the code whenever they start squabbling over stuff, and so it's not quite as clear cut as that. But you hang around there long enough, you can tell whenever things are about to get Western.
So do you guys do you act like you're in high school, or do the senators and representatives, do they act like they're in high school when it gets stormy? Are they like texting their guy across the aisle there making fun of somebody while they're talking?
So. I think if you compared most of them to high schoolers, you'd be giving them too much of a compliment. I think this is more of a junior high level type of relationships a lot of times that we deal with out there.
Well, it was brought to my attention this morning, Senate Bill 1424, and I know right now that bill seems like its concern is about poultry, which is agriculture, but the trickle-down effect of it, that if something was to come up, could end up being with beef and pork producers. Can you tell our listeners what Senate Bill 1424 is?
That's right. It's been one of Obhaf Farm Bureau, one of our big priorities this session, and all the other ag groups have supported this along the way in that. And you're exactly right. It is specifically targeting poultry growers, which is more of an Eastern Oklahoma thing, but it creates some additional liability protections if they are following all the rules of the Department of Ag, specifically what's called their nutrient management plan for how they handle their poultry litter that is often used as a fertilizer after it's cleaned out of the chicken houses, that they will not be subject to any additional lawsuits for following the law. We've seen some very disturbing things that we think are driven by environmental activists over the last few years, and supported by attorneys that just don't like, frankly, modern agriculture. They don't like animal agriculture. And so we feel like if you're following the laws of the state, then you should not be subject to be dragged into court. And this same principle could affect folks in the swine industry and in the beef industry, particularly the feedlot area of the world, because we know that there's a lot of folks that don't like the way modern ag works. And we feel like that we can get a win specifically for poultry growers, but also the precedent is important for the other segments of animal agriculture. And so we feel very passionately about that, and that we think that we need to stick together in agriculture. And so this that would insulate some of the growers doing it the right way, because we feel like as a state, we need to say, hey, we're open for business in Oklahoma in all segments of agriculture. And if you're following the laws, we want you doing business here. But it also preserves the ability that if somebody does mess up, they can still be subject to penalties, because we don't want folks to do it the wrong way either. And there's been a lot of opposition from what I like to call the Tulsa lawyer crowd and the environmental activists. And we've even had a tribe in northeast Oklahoma, an Indian tribe, really start trying to cause some problems with the legislation. So I think it's been important for ag and rural Oklahomans all around the state to speak up and contact area legislators and let them know that they do support agriculture in Oklahoma, and they think that it needs to be regulated at the State Department of Ag and not through the courthouse.
Right. And then can you give us an example of what could happen? Is like, just not necessarily whether it has anything to do with the chicken farms or the swine farms, but like a guy out here that's got a 500 head feedlot, what could happen?
Well, when we talk about the way that they would manage their manure, there are several rules and regulations through the State Department of Ag and USDA that they have to go through to be approved, and they are inspected, and they have to manage things a certain way. And there is a safe way to handle that, to where it is environmentally friendly. And in the eastern part of the state, the precedent has been set in a way that kind of scares us, that if there's any problem in any waterway in their area, they could get sued for that, even though they were managing the manure in that feedlot appropriately. And if you test some of our streams and rivers around there, you can find all sorts of things in them, and even though there may be 100 other sources, whether it's municipal wastewater treatment or your golf course. I mean, I'm a big golfer, but we do put a lot of fertilizer on our golf courses, and right, that's not regulated the same way that we handle, whether it be poultry litter in the east side or manure in the feedlots in the west side.
Right. Yeah, because that, it, like I said, they're talking poultry in this Senate bill. And who brought this Senate bill on? Did I hear Senator Howard was part of this?
Senator Brent Howard is our author in the Senate, and he is from Southwest Oklahoma. You guys may know him. And
oh, yeah.
Even though, like, this is a Northeastern issue in some ways, he is an attorney and he is an ag guy, and so he can speak the language in a way that most of the other legislators couldn't. And so he's done a really good job of presenting this and explaining the whole long list of lawsuits that have been out there against honest, hardworking poultry growers who the state and the federal government say is doing it according to the industry standards, and their plans have been approved by both the state and federal government, so that we feel like they're frivolous lawsuits. And so that's what we're seeking to change. But, you know, Senator Howard is our Senate author, and Representative John Pfeiffer from Northwest Oklahoma is our House author.
Gotcha. And then, so when are they voting on that? Senate bill's this afternoon, I guess?
We think either late today or sometime tomorrow.
And then it goes to the House.
It will be heard first in the Senate. We think either late today or probably now at this point in time tomorrow, and then we'll hustle across cross over the House chamber, and we think maybe Thursday in the House. So it's a win for agriculture if we can get it across the finish line.
So everybody knows this Senate Bill 1424. It's a good thing, and we need it to protect the poultry people over in Eastern Oklahoma. But if it doesn't get passed or something. And then this, once they get done with the chicken guys, and they're going to start on either the hog guys or the cow guys, and we don't need that.
So that's right. The people who have opposed us on this they cite some environmental questions, but if you do a little research on them, they truly have a long history of opposing animal agriculture, and we feel like we have some folks that are out there that we know that are working against us in all types of the livestock industry. And so us in the barnyard, we call ourselves the ag group lobbyists here at the Capitol, feel like we really have to rally together on this and try to protect agriculture in Oklahoma going forward.
Yeah, because I tell you what, if they do get some of this passed, or not necessarily, I mean, if some of these activists get some of this, get a hold of some of this and get it their way, I'm going to be the first one that's going to be after them, because they're killing all these plants to make this plant-based meat. So we'll reverse it on it, won't we?
Absolutely. I mean, the time has come. We're going to have to speak up, because you don't need those greenies being the only ones up here lobbying at the Capitol.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, so what do you recommend to all the listeners out there to call their senator and call their state representative and tell them they're all about Senate Bill 1420, or just Google Senate Bill 1424, take a look at it, and I'm not going to tell you one way or the other, but you guys look at it yourself and then call your state rep and Senate, because it's going to be, like I said, he said earlier in the interview that things are winding down and they're pushing things hard, so you need to put your opinion out there.
That's right. You would be amazed at how much our elected officials take to heart when they get phone calls or emails, because truly not that many people reach out to them. So sometimes it only takes a small handful to really get somebody's attention. And so if your House or Senate member would definitely benefit from hearing your opinion on it.
Yeah, great thing. Anything else crazy going on up there?
Oh, like I said, I think mainly they're just trying to solve all the budget issues and the tax issues and things related to that. We had a grocery sales tax cut earlier this year, but I don't think we're going to have an income tax cut. But they just got to make sure that all the budget balances, and I don't know that there's any other big fights out there, but weird things happen in the last few days. People try to get a little too cute with some legislation, and so that's why we at Farm Bureau and our friends at the Cattlemen's Support Council and others spend a lot of time at the Capitol this time of year. So we'll try to keep a close eye on.
Well, if anything flares up, I try to keep this show pretty non-political, but sometimes it's hard when it affects us. And but if something flares up in the next day or two and you need everybody to know about it, you have my phone number now.
Yes, sir. I certainly appreciate your time and everything you do for us.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, Stephen. And like I said, hopefully everything goes to producers' way, agriculture's way, and I know you guys, I want to thank you and the people from all the cotton, the pork, the Cattlemen's Association, I want to thank all you guys for what you do up there going to battle for us.
Well, we've got a good group, and us in Ag and Rural Oklahoma have to stick together, because there's more truly, there's more city folks than there are of us, but that's why we got to work together, and we'll outwork them if we can stick together.
Just keep your cowboy hat on. They'll know who you are.
So. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 100%.
All right, Mr. Thompson, thanks for your time, and we'll talk to you later, and appreciate you taking time to come on the show today.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a great day.
All right, you too. All right, there you go. Senate Bill 1424. Take a look at it. It keeps producers right now, chicken producers, from being sued even after they've done everything right. So if you get a chance, take a look at it, because if this thing gets through, next thing you know, pigs, cattle, something crazy will be going on. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed the show today. And for you guys, I'm getting ready to text all these people that won tickets and write your name down. And so have a great day. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank, the Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. God bless.